Right now, terrorist attacks involving vehicles can be tough to predict and to stop once they're in progress. But after deadly vehicle attacks in Barcelona, Berlin, Nice, and most recently New York, the bollard is being looked at as a possible solution.
The short, sturdy barriers protect pedestrians, and our next guest says they still make cities feel open and inviting.
Henry Grabar is a staff writer for Slate magazine. He wrote a recent piece on the use of bollards in cities around the world. Henry, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, this is a new word to me and probably a lot of people. What is a bollard?
Sure. A bollard is just a post. You may not know the word, but I'm sure you have seen bollards. They are, once you start paying attention to them, ubiquitous in the urban environment. You will see them outside gas stations. You will see them on sidewalks. You will see them at loading docks. They are these little metal posts that are designed to tell cars where not to park or not to drive.
And before some of the recent terrorist vehicle attacks, these were not seen as an anti-terrorist device, right? They were just a kind of a traffic safety thing.
Yeah, they've been used in both ways. I think there's a when you're telling people where not to drive, there's the metal post is intended to dissuade people, even if in many cases these posts are not strong enough to actually resist the strength of a car. So yeah, they've typically been used as sort of loose guidelines to tell drivers where not to park or drive. And in the last 30 years, as we've seen this rise, and especially in the last 5 years of vehicle-driven terrorist attacks, they've been fortified. And now they are used actually to prevent drivers from accessing sidewalks or busy streets.
And how commonly are they used that way?
Well, you see it all the time, and in particular in dense American cities and in Europe, they've become very common as well. We don't have that many pedestrianized areas of American cities, so there is to some extent a limit on their use in that sense. But they are becoming more and more common, and as I said, it's really just in the last 5 years that I think that security officials have become really cognizant of the risks of terrorism from vehicles. So now if you look at New York, you look at Times Square, where a guy drove his car five blocks down the sidewalk earlier this year, Times Square now has bollards protecting all its pedestrian spaces, and there's actually a row of these metal posts that stopped that car earlier this year. So I think that you're going to see them rolled out more and more. Washington, D.C. has an amazingly intricate network of bollards and has for years around Capitol Hill as well.
And you write that a lot of times when there's a security measure worked into urban design, it's ugly, it closes off the city. And you write that bollards don't necessarily have to be that way.
Yeah, so there's this knee-jerk reaction, which is we need to protect this space. Even sometimes if that means, you know, destroying it, destroying the bike path to save it is sort of what happened in New York after the terrorist attack a few weeks ago on the Hudson River bike path, in which 7 or 8 people were killed. And the result of that was the state DOT laying down these gigantic concrete jersey barriers at diagonals across what is the busiest bike path in the nation's largest city, used by tens of thousands of people every day, and they sort of made it unusable through this, you know, in an effort to protect the people who were using it. And I don't think it needs to be that way. I mean, that's sort of the knee-jerk response, is roll out the most intense, the largest concrete barrier you can find. You see it outside Trump Tower in New York, too, where they'll park dump trucks full of sand to try and keep the building safe from whatever might come from the street. But it doesn't need to be that way. I mean, you look at some of the more intricate design solutions that have emerged around Wall Street, for example. They've got these really nicely designed bollards. And especially, as I said, in Europe, where you look at these pedestrianized city centers, where coming up with a solution has actually been a part of the design process from the start. And they've come up with really elegant ways to allow you to access these pedestrian car-free spaces without feeling like you are behind the walls of a highly securitized space.
We're talking to Henry Grabar from Slate Magazine, looking at bollards, a way to try to prevent terrorist attacks with vehicles and otherwise prevent cars from driving in the wrong places where pedestrians are. Henry, talk about some of those more creative ways of doing this, where you're walking maybe right by a security device and not know that it's there for that.
Yeah, sure. So one of the ones I like is the display that's set up outside the New York Stock Exchange, which are these sort of crystalline bronze bollard shapes. They're called no-go. And they're really elegant, and they don't look sturdy because they have this sort of fine metal finish on them that almost makes them look like design objects. But of course, underneath that is a big steel pole that's, you know, embedded several feet into the ground and would prevent a car from making any headway should a car head towards one of those. But when you're on the street, you get the sense that this is a design object, and it also it has a double function as a bench, and people use it to sit on. So you have this situation where in securing the space, they've not only secured it in a way that does not make people hypercognizant of the risk of terrorism, but they also have created a genuine public space where people can sit and sort of take a breather from their walk. So that's good. And I think the other thing is to come back to the first point I made, that you don't want people to feel, when they're accessing public space at the center of a city, you don't want them to be thinking all the time about the risk of a terrorist attack. So if there's a way to protect people from these incidents that does not feel like it's beating them over the head with the risk, I think that we should do our best to implement those solutions.
Are these also being used in kind of a temporary way where, okay, it's the weekly big farmers market in the street or the block party or the festival where we have a creative use of temporary bollards that can still provide effective protection?
Yeah, for sure. So I think one of the important moments in the history of bollards in the United States is comes when this old man runs his car through the Santa Monica Farmers Market in Los Angeles, and that was in 2003. So that was sort of before people got really aware of the risks of terrorist attacks from vehicles. But the result was to sort of find a way of making this space secure from this type of incident. And that you can see that executed every time there's a sort of temporary festival. And I spoke earlier about the crystalline no-go bollards outside the Stock Exchange, but this does not need to be high design. You can see in New York or in Montreal, for example, a friend of mine was at a street fair recently where they just plopped down some big slabs of concrete down there at the edge of the fair. And it was clear that they were, going to stop vehicles should a car decide to try and turn down that street, but that B, even though they were just these really simple, undesigned blocks of concrete, they also functioned as these really nice benches where people were just sitting and hanging out. So those can be picked up and removed at a moment's notice, and they have the effect of doubling again as this sort of added benefit urban design element.
One concern I've seen about the use of bollards is, okay, they prevent accidents like the one in Santa Monica. They might keep out a terrorist vehicle attack. They might also block an ambulance or other first responder if it needs to get into this area. Is that something that is solvable?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's always the concern whenever you have any pedestrianized space about how services are going to access it. And I would say the ambulance is the foremost concern, but obviously police too. And then, everything else, like garbage trucks and delivery vans, and there is, we do need vehicles to be able to access most space in the city at some point or another, because the economy hinges on those deliveries and pickups and whatnot. And there is a solution for that. I mean, anytime you have a street full of people, you're going to need to take extreme care when an ambulance or police officer needs to access that space in a vehicle. You need to make sure that everyone is getting out of the way and not obviously being run over. But with respect to the bollards, when these are implemented as permanent solutions, there's often a way of raising or lowering them or detaching them. So this is not an insurmountable problem, and I know that this is one of the first things people think about. but it's something that the urban designers are thinking about as well. So they can either be detached or they can be raised or lowered, and often there's a sort of a back route access point where the vehicles can't have access to these pedestrianized spaces. So I think if you're concerned about that, that's a valid concern and it needs to be addressed, but it certainly shouldn't be a deal breaker to try and creating a pedestrianized space.
A nagging thought at the back of my mind here, Henry, is that it sounds like we've put a lot more thought into how vehicles get around in our city and not as much into how pedestrians get around. Is that a fair assessment of how most cities, maybe especially in the United States, have worked?
Oh, for sure. I think about this all the time because you think about these beautiful streets that people really value. Like in New York, we've got this sort of grand boulevard called Eastern Parkway, which has these two medians of trees on either side, and people always think of it as a great street, but it also has 8 lanes of traffic running down the center of it. And as people try and use these medians on either side, every time they cross the street, they have to sort of navigate this perilous environment of turning vehicles. And the truth is that most of these streets were designed to be used by horses and carriages and not by automobiles, and certainly not by automobiles going 45 miles an hour. So I think there is an extent to which we need to say that this whole urban environment has been taken over by vehicle priority, and it is time to take some of that back.
We'll leave it there for now. Henry, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Of course.
That was Henry Grabar, staff writer for Slate Magazine, talking to us about how these bollards are being used to protect pedestrians from accidents or terrorist attacks involving vehicles.